Today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who, from our perspective, is the guru of Srila Prabhupada. We know Srila Prabhupada as a superlatively great personality who brought Krishna consciousness to the Western world. And his guru was, if you say the guru is as great as the disciple, it doesn't sound proper. But certainly they were Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, in the category of very, very greatest devotees. Hardly within a day of Brahma, just very, very few devotees of this caliber will appear in this world. So today we are celebrating or observing a ceremony for the tithi, or the date on the lunar calendar when he left this world. We say disappearance, or in Sanskritum, aprakat lila. That word comes in Tamil, aprakat? No. We don't say died. Vaishnavas do not die. Even no one does. But a conditioned soul, in one sense we may say he dies. Because the identity which is ascribed to that body is finished at the time of death. Just like, for instance, anyone, you say, for instance, Mahatma Gandhi, he was a person who lived and he died. And he won't be seen again. Means that the jiva that was in that body is still existing. But somewhere in another form. But great Vaishnavas, they come to this world from the spiritual world to serve the Lord here. That is, they are situated in their eternal position of service to the Lord. So they were doing that before they came. They manifested service to the Lord within this world for some time. And then they go somewhere else to serve the Lord. So they don't die. We say they disappear, because from our vision we don't see them, but that personality has not died. Simply they go somewhere else to do the same thing, which is served Krishna. Whereas the conditioned soul, he does something in what he's a human being in one life, and a dog in the next life, and a cat in the next life. And when he eventually comes again as a human being, it may be with a different kind of personality to the one he had previously. It's always changing under the influence of the modes of nature. But a pure devotee, he never changes his mode of service to Krishna and continues that eternally. So Prabhupada gave the example, just like the sun, you see it and then you don't see it, but it's existing somewhere else. We can be, at night time, we are confident that the sun is existing, but not, even though it's not within our vision. So the pure devotees, they are fully absorbed in service to Krishna. That is so substantial and it is so real that there is no question of it being destroyed by death. There is nothing material that can destroy that. Which is why it's also understood that the pure devotees' bodies, they're not material. Material body is given by the material energy for the conditioned soul to try to enjoy this material world. But the pure devotee's apparently material body is fully engaged in the service of Krishna. Okay. Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Mahatmanastu mang partha daivin prakriti mashritaha. The pure devotees, they are under the shelter of Krishna's internal energy. So they don't have any material activities, and their body is not material, and they don't die. To the materialist, this may seem to be some kind of fanatical opinion, because from our vision, it seems that the pure devotees, they get old, they die, they have toothache, and they sleep, they eat, all these things. But that is not the essence of their existence. For the materialist, he's concerned with his body, and maybe his mind, the intellectual sphere. But the pure devotees, their eating and sleeping for them, that is incidental. But their actual existence is their absorption in service to Krishna, which of course the materialists don't understand, won't understand, can't understand. But the great pure devotees come to this world to help even such people at least begin to understand what is their actual existence. Now, another way we can understand that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did not die, but that he disappeared, is we understand that he is a pure devotee of Krishna and he came to manifest pure devotion in this world. And thus, his name indicates his activities and his personality. Everyone is given a name. In traditional Vaishnav culture, the child is given a name like Narayan, Keshav, or something like this. So that is supposed to indicate that they are a servant of Narayan. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that is his name, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And his activities, he is synonymous with that. He lived Bhaktisiddhanta, spoke Bhaktisiddhanta, established Bhaktisiddhanta. And this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Saraswati means Vani, Vak, speech, instruction. So he was always speaking this Bhaktisiddhanta. So he is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and that never dies. John Smith, which is given as like the plainest English name, it's a typical English name. John Smith lives and dies. Or you can maybe Bill Gates, after he dies, or even before he dies, they may write some biography. There are so many biographies. There's some website with 20,000 biographies on. I must say that the biography I am writing is worth more than all those biographies put together. Because the biographies of all those people, what they did, it has a beginning and an end. It was relevant to one particular time, place and circumstance. For materialistic people it's relevant. Though actually everything a materialistic person does, it's all shrama eva hi kevalam, simply useless work. So it may appear to be of tremendous import, but it's only of import to a particular time, place and circumstance. So you can read about some there are emperors of China who ruled vast tracts of land, now forgotten. It has no meaning or relevance to people living in China or anywhere else at the present time. Or even that example I was given, Mahatma Gandhi. Still they garland his statue once a year, but no one's interested in what he did or said. And it appears to have very little relevance to anything going on in India or anywhere else in the world at the present time. But Bhaktisiddhanta is vitally relevant, is far more important than any political, scientific, social or any other material going on. Is relevant in all times and all places and all circumstances. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that what I am saying, that will continue to exist eternally. It will continue up to the time of the pralayam, the end of the universe, and beyond that also. Whereas just like you're doing research for Microsoft, and it appears to be very relevant to the modern world. It's millions of people all over the world are going to be using this and doing all kinds of things, designing buildings and writing books and all kinds of things. So it appears to be very relevant and vital. Microsoft research. And it's considered very important in the world today. But it will all end in piles of ashes. Or in the case of the Westerners who bury the body in lots of worm stool. All the important things we are doing and all the crises and we have to get ahead in our business and all these things. Sridhar in Seattle was telling me he was working for IBM and they were saying, oh, Dell's getting ahead of us and having all these meetings and we have so many issues, how to make our computers come up to the right level. Like all this, you know, they have to think and, you know, fully absorbed. It's all madness, either Japanese madness, American madness, or whatever. They'll have meetings and they'll all be sitting there very seriously. We have a heat problem. Our computer gets too hot. What are we going to do? And they're sitting there worrying and thinking about it and staying up all night. Yeah. And at the end, all those hardware engineers, that body ends up in heat problems. They go to the samshan. And then, if they didn't chant Hare Krishna, they have a heat problem. The place they go to is rather hot. So all the things we're thinking, it's very important. Not important. Bhakti Siddhanta is important. That will continue to be important. And as long as we don't realize it's important, then we are giving importance to all kinds of things that are not actually important. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, out of his mercy, was preaching Bhaktisiddhanta. Aggressively preaching. In the modern age, there's an idea that, well, you just be nice to everyone, and you present your opinion, and then they can present your opinion. And if they like it, they can accept it. If they don't, then they don't. And the main thing is to be nice. You see, even if you don't agree with the other person, you be nice to them and they'll be nice to you. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he totally disagreed with even the idea of just being nice without surrendering to Krishna. He was very much against it. He was very much against the idea of just harmonious living without surrendering to Krishna. He pointed it out very strongly as just another form of cheating. He lived by the principle which he summarized in one couplet. Couplet means two lines of verse, which is derived from the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, Priti vite jato kata dharma nama chale bhagavata kahe taha paripurna chale. That whatever is going on in the world, whatever is being discussed, according to the version of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's all cheating. Everything in this world is just cheating. So he was fully dedicated to truth. Establishing what is the actual truth. The truth is surrender to Krishna. The truth is love of Krishna. All this cheating has to be cleared away so that people can come to understand who is Krishna and love Krishna. He pointed out the defects in everything. He said that his father, spiritually more than materially, but apparently his material father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, trained him in childhood in operating the press, how to print books. So in printing books, an essential function is proofreading, especially in the days of hand typesetting, which only ended recently, actually. So he said that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur trained me in proofreading to find out the mistakes and correct them. But he said, I don't just proofread books, I proofread people, I proofread religions, I proofread the whole world and correct it. So he is famous as Rupa Anuga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari. He who removes the darkness of the conclusions that are opposed to those given by Srila Rupa Goswami. He is, as a follower of Rupa Goswami, he is however not only pointing out mistakes. That Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyanga Dati Swapadantikam. You can give the translation also. We presume that the English speakers know. You don't know? When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this world the desire of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, award to me the shelter of his lotus feet? So, as a follower of Rupa Goswami, he wasn't just pointing out the defects, but he was pointing to the highest stage of bhakti which Rupa Goswami revealed on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in Bhaktisthana Sarasvati Thakur also praises Madhurya Ujvala Premardhya Shri Rupa Anuga Bhaktida Shri Gora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. Madhurya Ujvala Premardhya. He gives that Prem Bhakti of the level of Madhurya Prem, which those who know the teachings of Rupa Goswami, they can understand. Otherwise, to explain this, then it may take many lifetimes. Shri Rupanuga Bhakti, that means the process which he has given for advancement up to the stage of Prem Bhakti, which means the highest love of Krishna. And he is the very personality of the empowered or to distribute the mercy of. He is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's compassion. He is Murtiman. Well, in English you say personified, but it gives the idea that there was something, there was a concept, and it became personalized. It's almost like, you know, avyaktam vyaktim apanam. But he is eternally the person who is personifying or representing, or I don't know how to say it. There's no word in English. The compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's no concept in the English language. It's Murtiman is the Sanskrit word. But that's also misunderstood by people who have heard Mayavad philosophy. That's another thing. Bhaktisthana Sarasvati Thakur was very, very, very strong on that. You have to define words properly. Otherwise you may say one thing and mean one thing, and people hear and they hear something else. Just like you may say to someone that, yes, we should all do Hari Bhakti. And they'll say, yes, very good, we agree. So superficially they agree with you, but their idea of Hari Bhakti is something completely distorted. They have no faith in Hari as the Supreme Person, and they think bhakti is something you do which gives you punya, or it gives you gyan, so that you can merge into impersonal Brahman or something. So they use the same words, but they're misunderstanding. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is preaching Rupa Anuga Bhakti. Rupa Goswami has given the definition of pure devotional service. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyana vritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti ruttama. This is what Rupa Goswami was preaching, teaching. Rupa Goswami has, through his writings and his books, established in the world what are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that was being misrepresented, because so many people with anya abhilash, other desires than to serve Krishna, had entered the sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and polluted it, and presenting that this is Gauriya Vaishnavism, when actually it's just karma and jnana with a different dress on, that's all. So Bhaktisthana Sarasvati Thakur was fighting against karmis, jnanis, and micha bhaktas, or false devotees, to establish Rupa Anuga Bhakti, to establish the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prithivite ache jato nagaradi gram sabatya pracha hoibe mor nam. That Krishna consciousness, as it actually is in its pure form, will be distributed all over the world. But it might seem that his only motive was to show everything that's wrong. But ultimately his purpose is to show that which is right. If we only point out what's wrong without pointing out what is right, then we might be in danger of becoming something like Mayavadis, who say Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, everything here is false and Brahma is true, but then they don't have any description of Brahman. So in one of his very earliest writings, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, even before he took sannyas, he described what he's actually preaching, what is the essence of that. That hridaye balila keba dayata dashera sheva gopidanga katha kirtan. That someone said in my heart that the service of Dayata Das, that was a name, that's a very intimate name of his that he, from early life, he used. Yeah, Varshabhanavi Devi Dayata Das. Varshabhanavi Dayata Das. So Varshabhanavi Dayata Das means the servant of Krishna, and Krishna is named here in relation with Radharani, the lover of Radharani. So it said the service of Dayata Das, namely Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, is Gopidhanga Katha Kirtan, the kirtan of describing what is the treasure of the gopis. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur described what is the treasure of the gopis. Gopi Parana Dhana, the Krishna is the treasure of the life of the gopis. Elsewhere Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur described Swarasakhi Siddhi Braja Gopi Dhan, that the wealth of the gopis of Vrindavan is Swarasakhi Siddhi, which means their service, their each one's particular service, that's their treasure, their service to Radha and Krishna. So all these things Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was teaching. It's very difficult to how people will understand such things, but that the highest absolute truth is some cowherd boy and his girlfriend. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was able, or he was empowered to present the highest truth with great dignity. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, they had been misused. So people thought that Gaudiya Vaishnavism is just some, that's just for very low class people. It had actually been appropriated by beggars and immoral people, and they said this is Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to establish what is the dignity of the path of Rupa Goswami. The worship of Radha and Krishna, the very highest personalities in the universe, they can worship from a great distance. What is the position of Radha and Krishna? And not only establish that on this very high and esoteric philosophical truth, but also preach that widely, so that Bhaktisiddhanta Vani Prachar, that is going on still. There is no difference between Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivedanta. Even if you examine what the words mean, it comes to the same thing. So the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, which is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that was effected by Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writing and speaking style was extraordinarily difficult, and Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's writing was amazingly simple. It's just amazing how he has presented this very high and deep philosophy in English, which is not at all, it's a completely different kind of language, and how he's presented it in such a lucid and understandable manner. So their manner of delivery is different, but the purpose is the same. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he often spoke of how Krishna consciousness should be spread all over the world. He was very eager that the people of the world should take to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Now, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West in 1965, people were telling him, what are you doing? How are you can't spread Krishna consciousness in the West. It's just the culture's too different and people are too far away from it. Nowadays, there are dozens of people who claim that they were the ones who told Prabhupada to go to the West. But according to Prabhupada's own version, no one encouraged him. No one thought it was that what he was doing was even possible. Well, at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, it must have seemed even more impossible. Even Abhay Charandey, when he first went for darshan of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also said the same thing. That how is anyone going to listen to any philosophy from India when India is controlled by Britain? So he said, first of all, we should get independence, and then we can think about, when we're a free nation, then we can think about preaching our culture and philosophy. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Krishna consciousness is so important, it can't wait for any political change. Because he could see these political changes, they come and go, but the substance, the reality, that always remains the same. Of course, the people of the world, they don't see this or understand this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, even at the expense of all my mutts, if I could make one pure devotee, I would consider my mission successful. Because most people don't understand what the pure devotees are speaking. Material consciousness means to try to measure everything. So when we see Krishna and Krishna consciousness, we also try to put it in some box that we can classify in our minds and put it in a corner. Yes, okay, this is what it is. It's a religious institution. And it's convenient for the members of the religious institution, instead of all the time trying to tell people that actually we don't have anything to do with any of your ideas, which are all hogwash. That it's easier to say, yes, yes, we're a religious institution, and go along, and then we can get our work done very nicely. Fit into the world, and people can relate to it. So if we fit into the world, then it's definitely easier to get our work done. We can get public acceptance, and people will like, and they'll help us to build temples and so many things. The only thing is that if we fit into the world, then our real work doesn't get done at all, which is to get people out of this world. But if we don't have some relationship to the world, then we can't even start to bring people out of it. Just like Srila Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, he didn't accept disciples. You come to him, you be a pure devotee, that's all. Either you'll be a pure devotee or he rejects you. You're a cheater, you're bogus, get out. How are you going to bring people up? So some kind of facility has to be made to bring people in at some level. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he appeared to make in many ways the Gaudiya Math and his preaching accessible to the people of the world. He made, you can see his quarters in Calcutta, that it looks like a gentleman's apartment. So he would invite cultured people to come, and they would feel very comfortable sitting there. He made doll exhibitions of people, they came, and in those days that was something very attractive. They came to see the nice dolls and the exhibition. So he reached out to people that they could, some kind of relationship could be established. But then he would speak. And his speaking was long and wholly uncompromising. So all the arrangement is just to get people to come and hear. So we should remember in our ISKCON also that all the arrangements, big, big temples, is only to make people hear the unadulterated mission of message of Godhead. The temple in and of itself is not important. There are so many temples, Ayyappa temples, or even there are so many Vishnu temples, and so many people visit, but they don't actually get much benefit. They go and see the god and ask for some benediction, and then they come out and their life goes on in the same way. But if they can hear from the pure devotee, then their life will change. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, after the marble palace-like temple had been built in Calcutta, it was like a sign of it's like the triumph of the Gauriya Math. After this was built, he said, better we take out all the marble, sell it, and use the money for printing books. A typical statement of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, just devastating. Dismantle the temple and print books. Like that, he would say that the ringing of the bell in the Lord's Aarti by the neophyte devotee is unlimitedly more beneficial for mankind spiritually and even materially than building millions of hospitals and schools. The worst violence, what is the worst kind of violence, is not to speak Harikatha. So people think Hitler was very bad, Stalin was very bad, very violent figures. Milosevic, what's his name? Milosevic was very bad. But according to this analysis, pretty much everyone in the world is in the same category, because they're all doing worse violence than Hitler and Stalin by not talking Harikatha. Because by failing to speak Harikatha, they are helping others to remain in this material world, in which it's inevitable in some point of time they'll come across a Milosevic, or maybe there'll be a cow and they'll come across a butcher, which is just as bad or worse. So you may say Hitler is bad. Well, the average person is in the same category. Namam duskrtino mudha prapadyante naradhamaha maya pahritagyana asurang bhavamashita. So many important things we have to learn. So you please pray to Sri Sri Gornitai here that I may soon finish this writing on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and produce the book. Actually, I don't want to finish writing. I eternally I can go. People are asking when this book will be ready. But I want to, eternally I shall write it. Then it will. The subject is unlimited, so even in millions of lifetimes we couldn't finish. But at some point I should produce a book so that what's been collected. So you please pray to Sri Sri Gornitai that much may be done before too long. In the book we have the ongoing manuscript, and then every 12 months it says printed in 2003, and that changes 2004. Now it's on 2006, so we don't want it to go to 7. We want to have it out. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. His foremost disciple, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta